thank you, Father. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you for your presence. We thank you, Father, for everything you've done in our midst. Father God, we just thank you for each and every person tonight. We thank you, Father, for blessing them. We thank you, Father, you have a plan and a purpose for them. We thank you they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. And Father God, we thank you tonight as we go to study your word. Your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And Father God, we thank you to help us to not be just hearers of the word, but help us to be doers of the word. And Father, we thank you that we'll take that word. It'll be life-changing to us. But we'll take that word and won't just hog it for ourselves, but we'll go out and take the word of God, and go out to the highways and the byways for the people that need help. And we'll take that word to them, and it'll be life-changing for them as well. Father, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles taking place in our midst. And Father, we thank you. Today, as we go to speak, we come not in our own strength, we come not in our own power. We come not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability, that you be lifted up. And we thank you that they won't see me ministering, but they'll see you ministering through me. But thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you for that anointing that's present tonight, that anointing that saturates us, that anointing that helps us. We thank you for it now. And Father, we thank you as we are here today. We thank you also for Dad and Mom there in Nebraska. We thank you, Father, for the healing anointing tonight. We thank you, Father, for people's lives being set free. And we thank you, Father, for protecting them as they travel back home tonight after their meeting. Father God, we thank you for everything you have done, everything you are doing, both here and around the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Well, tonight I want to share with you a little bit from what I shared with our Oklahoma City Church on Sunday night about your mind. And, of course, we're going to read Romans 12:1, so I guess we can say, we want you to have the mind of a transformer, more than BCI, if you've ever seen the movie. Romans 12:1, and most of you know the scripture, Romans 12:1 and 12:2, says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now notice it. The first verse talks about presenting yourself a living sacrifice, but a lot of people are trying to live right on the outside. They're trying on the outside, but they haven't changed their way of thinking. Until you change your thinking, you're not going to present your body a living sacrifice to God. You are what you think you are. You're going to act on what you think what you think. And notice it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, a transformer can change one way, also can change back again. By the way it thinks, and by the way it wants to be. You have the power to transform. But what's interesting is, when I was reading over this, a lot of us think that when Jesus Christ died upon the cross and then we accept him as the Lord and Savior, that transformed us. It didn't. Our thinking is what transformed us. That gave us the ability to be transformed. Just like you've seen the movie The Transformers, they have the ability, but they could go through the rest of their life and never transform into something else, even though they have the ability. But it's the way you think is what transforms you. It's how you think. And many people are trying on the outside. They're trying, I'm gonna be a better person. I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna do that. But they keep doing it over and over again because they haven't changed the way they think. They haven't changed some of their sources that they go to. You realize people we hang around with has the most influences on us. The things we do, the things we watch, on TV, on the internet, the things we read, they have the most influence on us. And we change our thinking based upon what we read and what we do. And it's kind of amazing there. I want to read this also from the New Living Translation. Says it this way. It says, so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Let him be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Then it says, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So you have to change the way you think. Change the way you think. That means if you're in a situation and you're going through a thing and normally this happens and normally you respond one way, maybe you have to respond differently. That goes down to remember the WWJD, how would Jesus respond? And you know, Jesus lived life as a man. Now think about that. Think about the change from spiritual Jesus to life as a man Jesus. I mean, I was actually thinking the other day, you know, remember, Craig's really funny. He thinks about stuff that most people don't. And, you know, people's asked the question, and I don't know the answer. I will tell you one day, but I don't know when it will be. But do they eat food in heaven? I don't know. I'll tell you when I get to heaven. I'll tell you whether they eat food or not. But let's just think, well, I'm assuming that they don't have to have something to sustain life like that, because so if Jesus, you know, he lived all this time not eating food, came to earth, and now he has to have food to sustain himself. That's a big change, isn't it? He had to change the way he thinks. I mean, you know, think about that. I mean, he had to change the way he thought. I mean, you know, he was not the normal person, but he was also a person. Now, what we have to do is change the way we think sometimes. A lot of times I found out that whenever we're facing a situation, we have to do probably what opposite of what most people do. You know, just because you know it's the right thing to do or it's what Jesus would do. But, you know, the way we think, we're kind of programmed to think one way. As a human being, you know, you think, you know, one way. Like I said, if I'm going to slap myself, you know, it's going to hurt, and I know it's going to hurt, I'm going to think, ouch. You know, I don't think, oh, that's great, do it again. I mean, you know, maybe some people are peculiar and they think that or whatever. But, you know, we have to change the way we think. And the way if we change the way we think, it'll change the way we live. Now, a lot of people think in that in lines with sinning. And you know, and I understand that. We need to do that. We need to stay away from sin. We need to present our life a living sacrifice. We need to do that. But also, we need to change the way we think when it comes to ourselves and who we are. And that's what the Bible talks a lot about. It's about who we are in Christ, not about who we really are. It's about, you know, that we are a winner and not a loser. Because a lot of times our mentality about ourselves, I mean, we want things to become better, but our thinking about ourselves is still not good. Because we're not thinking like we should think. And I have been just thinking about stuff over and over again, and I've come down to a conclusion that a lot of Christians have actually, I mean, they only use their faith for two areas: healing and finances. That's pretty much, you know, what it is. I mean, I see people that have so much worry, you know, on their life. I see people that are so depressed. I mean, talking about Christians, and half the time don't do anything about it but go home and cry. And you know, maybe they pray, but half their prayers are more begging than they are prayers. You know, but the thing about it is, we have to understand that Jesus Christ paid the price. And the Bible says that he came that we might have life more abundantly. So if we have life more abundantly, then we don't have to worry. The Bible even tells us to cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. It tells us that specifically. But, you know, what happens is, even though we've done it once, our mind, just like it gets transformed, sometimes it gets untransformed. And sometimes we could not face another battle, another decision, and we forget that last time what we had to do was think differently, think more positively. Now, you know, in life, I mean, you know, they talk about, I mean, seriously, people spend a lot of money to go to seminars when they tell you, and basically the whole premise of the seminar is to think more highly of yourself, think that you can do it, think positively. I can just make it simple. Just think on Christ. But see, when it comes to Christ, it's not about thinking. It's about knowing. You know that the answer has already been provided. You know the outcome. If you're Christ-minded, you think about the outcome. The outcome is you win. The outcome is you have the answer. The problem is you're not thinking like that. You're not thinking, because if you're really thinking, you would know, because we all sung it for years and years, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. Anyone ever sing that song? That's right. There's like 20% of you sung the song. Rest of you are just lying. Maybe you're thinking, maybe you're asleep, or maybe you're on Facebook trying to update your status, or maybe you have some kind of good quote that I quoted you wanted to put on Twitter or something, so you didn't have time to raise your hand. Anyway, the thing about it, you sung the song, he is the answer. You know he is. And you're in a situation and you're facing a problem. Well, can't you think that you have the answer to your problem because you've sung about it before? Now, we know the scripture, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So everywhere we go, we bring Jesus with us. So everywhere you go, you have the answer. If you have the answer, why are you thinking about the problem when you have the answer? I've said it over and over again. But the problem is you don't remember, because your mind gets untransformed sometimes. And so when you're in the middle of that battle, whenever the devil is beating you on your head and trying to tell you, you know, what's really going on, because you understand, the devil, a lot of times, you know, we think he lies. A lot of times he gives us facts. I mean, he's telling us, you know, this is what's going on. You know, your blood pressure is high. You have heart disease. You have this. And that was fact. You went to the doctor, and the doctor said it was. He didn't lie to you. He's telling you the truth. But the thing about it is, you have to know that just because you have the truth, you also have you have Jesus, and you have the answer. It says, by his stripes you were healed. So when the devil is coming with you, you know, with lies or the truth, it doesn't really matter. Whatever he's trying to say to you, you have to remember the answer already dwells with you. And so you can either think on your problem and get depressed about it and get worried about it, or you can think on the answer. It's your choice. The way you think is up to you. See, Jesus can't change the way you think. God can't change the way you think. And many people think, well, once I get saved, I'm going to think differently. No, you're not. If you were, this wouldn't even be in the Bible. I mean, you're not going to think differently just because you're saved. You're not going to think any differently. You're only going to think differently when you decide to think differently. So you're the one that transforms your world. If you don't like your world, start transforming it by the way you think. Because you have the power to change your world. To transform is to change. How do you change your world? Change your thoughts. You change your thoughts and you'll change your world. When you go in a situation, you think, you know what? I know it looks like I'm losing, but I'm a winner. And I don't have to, the thing is, whenever you think on Christ, it's not that you think you're winning. You know you're winning because Christ knows he's winning. Christ never went in the face of a situation and thought, I'm going to lose in this situation. He never did. That's not the God kind of thinking. God didn't think when he said, let there be light, that light wouldn't come on. He never thought that. Not one time. That's the way God thinks. That's the way we should think. Because we know the answer. The answer is already true. Our faith is in God. Have faith in God. To have God kind of faith. They put it on your money. My God, if you can't believe your money, what can you believe? The internet? It's on your money. Have faith in God. Man, let God transform your world through the way you think. The way you see your world. The way you see, I mean, you know, we shouldn't see problems. In fact, one thing, my grandfather, he never saw problems, always saw opportunities. It's opportunities show that God's good. Opportunity, you know, to show that God always causes us to win. The Bible says it. God has always causes us to triumph. The triumph is to win. Doesn't matter how bad you're losing. See, what happens is we start thinking based on circumstances. Even though when we know we shouldn't, we still do it anyway. Because you're looking at the scoreboard. You're looking at what it looks like. Now, we all know that faith doesn't look at what it looks like or what it feels like or what it acts like. It's what we know. But what do you know? You should know what you know. If you don't know, you just find it out. Right. And that's the biggest problem in life, and is that we don't know what the Word of God says. If you don't know what the Word of God says, then you can't let the Word transform you. Amen. Because you don't know. You know, we have the song, Standing on the Promises of God. That's great. What are the promises of God? What does He promise us? If you don't know what they are, then you're standing on nothing. And that's the problem. We have to be transformed by changing our mind. Changing what we think. And changing what we think will otherwise change our life. It'll change our attitude. And, you know, I've been saying it here recently, but I'm going to say it again. So many times that we have these confessions that we have been saying since we were a little kid, and we don't really think about them. We just say them. You know, some people say, they wake up and they say, this is the day the Lord has made, I'll rejoice and be glad. Nothing wrong with saying that. But I watch those same people say it, and 10 minutes later, they're griping about their day. Why? Because when they said those words, it really wasn't life-changing. They were just saying words. They were saying a confession. And I believe that's what's happened in the body of Christ. We got so used to all these faith confessions. All these, well, if I say the right thing and do the right thing and do the hokey pokey and turn myself around, it's going to happen now. Oh, wait, I got to give $500. You know, sow my seed or whatever. You know, they have all these formulas. And if you do it, all that, and people have been so fed up because they don't really believe it. It's not about confessions. I mean, confessions are good, but you've got to act upon a confession. The reason you confess it is because you act upon it. You let it change you. But if your mind's not changed, it's not going to change your heart. It's not going to change anything. You have to change everything. See, it starts out here, and then it comes out here. The devil also is a transformer. And his job is to change your mind to think like he wants you to think. Amen. That you're not victorious, that you never overcome. But see, what happens is one of the biggest things in life is not that. We know what the Bible says a lot of times. A lot of it is we feel that we're not worthy. You haven't been the best Christian in the world, so you think in life, if you were God, you wouldn't bless you, so why would God bless you? Of course, quickest way to get blessed is to sneeze anyway, because every time you sneeze, someone says, God bless you. But they really don't want to bless you. That's just a confession that they've learned as a little kid to say, God bless you. Because I'm telling you, I guarantee you, people do not, I mean, they're not trying to bless people. They're just saying it because they feel sorry for the guy because sneezing. And it's a learned trait. And that's, you know, scary if our confessions are becoming learned traits. And not a real confession. If they're not life-changing. But saying God bless you is a learned trait. It's not a confession that we're thinking, you know what, we really want God to bless that guy. Especially after he sneezes a lot, because I don't know what sneezing has to do with God and blessings, but, you know, it's something we all do. I don't know who started it. I'm sure I can figure that out. I'm sure you can too. But the thing is, what are you thinking about? And are you thinking about that you're not worthy enough? That you're not good enough, or you haven't done enough, or whatever? But you know what? Our God is more than enough, regardless if we're nothing. Regardless of what we've done, it's not about what we've done. That's why, like John 3:16, for God so loved the world, even the condition of the world was, God still loved the world, and God loves you. Regardless of what you've done. And so a lot of times, we actually punish ourselves because we feel we're not good enough. And it's not because we came up with that. It's because the devil came and told us we're not good enough. And we felt we weren't worthy. So since we're not worthy, then that's why we go into depression or whatever, because because nothing's going to change because God doesn't love us. You know, or sometimes you take some things personal. It's not even personal. Just because God blessed somebody else and you've been trusting God for something similar for a long time and it hadn't happened, you said, well, I guess God's mad at me. God's not mad at you. So you have to change the way you think. You can't think you're unworthy. Christ never thinks he's unworthy. If you have the mind of Christ, you can't think unworthy thoughts. I never saw in the Bible where Christ said, I feel unworthy. No, he's always worthy. He feels worthy. We know we're worthy. Amen. See, if you have the mind of Christ, you think like Christ. And in Christ, you know, what happened, like when Christ was tempted, every time Christ was tempted, all Christ did was take the devil back to the Bible. And quote the word. So what happens when we get tempted? Go back to the Bible and quote the word. Amen. And if you fall after this message, that's what Brother Hagin always did. He was a stickler for the word. God says that I believe and that settles it. Now the thing is, what he was a little, I know how to think like he can think, because I know him, knew him really well. He was stubborn. And when he got it, it was going to be that way. That's how it was. But you know what? He had a big testimony. He came off a deathbed. If God can get him off a deathbed, I mean, how easy is this? I mean, he only needs $1,000 or whatever it might be. You know, and that's the thing about it. We think, well, this is too tough. Remember, we're talking about the world creator our faith is in. It's too tough than bringing light to mankind. Is that too tough? Because, see, it's not, when we think too tough, we're trying to think in our own mind. That means we're going back to our own thoughts. Anything is too tough or too hard, that's because it's too tough in our thought life. But a transformed mind never faces a situation when it's too tough. That's why we have the scripture, I can do all things, what? Through Christ. Or with Christ. Well, the good thing about it is, Christ is always with me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. So I can do all things when he's with me. But only if I can think like he can think. Amen. Only if I can think about what he's doing for me. And really, Christianity is about enjoying the ride. It's about trusting God, trusting Jesus, and enjoying the ride. Enjoying all our benefits. It's not about going out and trying to make things happen. In fact, the only thing that we should make things happen is whenever the Lord leads us and guides us to make things happen. When he opens the door for us. But a lot of us, we're trying to figure out how are we going to do this. That's the wrong mind to have. How is he going to do it? The thing about it is I decided I wasn't going to worry about how. How is a question, and according to Webster's Dictionary, faith is unquestioning belief. So if how is a question, it's not faith. Faith doesn't ask how. It just accepts it. You ask how. See, you're trying to figure out how the answer works. Just apply the answer to your life. Don't figure out how it works, why it works. You just change your mind. Just decide to change your mind. Let's look at a couple more scriptures. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to go ahead and read from the New Living Translation, starting with verse 22. Ephesians 4:22 says this. It says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Somebody say you need attitude adjustment? You got to let the Spirit renew the way you think and your attitude. Yes, amen. Quit thinking. Some people think, well, I'm Italian or I'm German or I'm this or I don't care what you are. You're a Christian. Yes. You're born again. Right. Doesn't matter that your family tend to be mean. It also doesn't matter that your family tend to have, you know, some kind of disease running in your family. It's genetics, no? You're of different genetics now. You've been transformed. But see, if you don't let your mind, if you don't figure this out in your own mind, your mind's going to think, no, I haven't been transformed. I'm still a genetically enabled Italian or whatever you know are. All right? It goes on to say, put on a new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And see, every time we think about God, we think about righteous and holy, but I want to think about God and truly to be a winner, truly to know everything happens. See, we only think about righteous and holy. We forget about, like I said, when God said, let there be light, he knew the light was coming on. He never questioned. When Jesus spoke to the storm and said, peace be still, you know, when he spoke to the fig tree, when he made a commandment, he knew it was going to be fulfilled. That's how we think like God thinks. Think like Christ thinks. It goes on saying, listen to this. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. We are all part of the same body, and don't sin by letting anger control you. So you know what? When anger starts controlling you, you say things you didn't mean. How many times have you said, I didn't mean to say that. I shouldn't have said that. We've done it many times. Why? When anger gets on us, we don't think normally. We don't think rationally a lot of times. It's a strategy that people, you know, I see in sports, that's the reason a lot of times in sports that let's try to talk trash to each other, get one of them guy angry, and then they'll fall apart. Because they can't control their emotions. And it happens in life. When we get angry, a lot of times we don't think rationally. You know, we don't think, you know, like normal, all right? He says, if you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to the others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved in the day of exemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. And you're not going to change any of those things until you change the way you think. Because, you know, when we look at the attribute of Christ, Christ was always loving. He was kind. He was tenderhearted. I mean, Christ wasn't mean to people. He had a good attitude. That's how he thought. Now, you know, a lot of times in life, I mean, there are some things that are probably easier for you than for others. Like you know, most people in life don't go around thinking they need to kill somebody every day. It's not a normal thing. I guess there are some folks, maybe they think like that. I don't know. But, you know, but also you probably don't think you should lie to somebody every day, but a lot of times it just happens. You know, it's easier for you to lie than it is for you to kill people. Why is it? What's the way you think? You think differently about killing someone than you lying to somebody. It's like probably no big deal to lie to somebody, but it's a big deal to kill somebody. So you have to change the way you think. Make it a big deal to lie to somebody. Think it's a big deal. You know, but I found out that this is true with most politicians. They don't lie to tell half truth. They just don't finish the truth a lot of times. And so, well, no, I'm not lying. Yeah, but you're not really telling the truth. I mean, maybe that's why, you know, whenever you're in a court case, and you know, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. All of it. Not just part of it. You know, a lot of us, you know, we're good about telling half-truths and things like that, but you got to change the way we think. We need to think that's probably not a good deal. You know, but it is funny because I look at Jesus, I mean, not literally look at Jesus, but look at the Gospels, and I don't see Jesus being actually mean to other people. I don't see him being judgmental to other people. In fact, the situations he had opportunity to be judgmental, and his answer was, well, he without sin cast the first stone. So when he said that, I kind of think of that same way. That's how I should judge people. I understand there's people out there in life that are not living life like I think they should, but is it up to me to start casting stones? You know, because a lot of, and I just, oh, I would never cast a stone, brother, but you know what? I mean, just some of the things you write on social media and some of the way you think and some of the way you just act and speak louder words a lot of times. The fact that you walked across the street to avoid that person meant that there's probably an issue. Yeah, but brother, there's in sin. I don't care. Does it really matter? And you know, who is it to you to judge whether they're in sin or not in sin anyway? Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes we know that. But I found out that, you know, a sinner never changes based upon judgment. But mercy, love, and forgiveness can change a lot. You know, and that's how Jesus always acts. He always acts with mercy, love, and forgiveness. And, you know, and we don't do that. We don't do that when faced with the opportunity. But, you know, I'll leave everyone off with a couple of scriptures. And we're going to end on time. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm just going to read from the New Living Translation again. And we've all read the first part. We'll start with verse 4. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. And I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, here's where I want to get to. This is talking about how we think. It says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts. This is how you change your thought life. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. So if you change what you start thinking about good things will be a whole lot better. They'll be a whole lot better, but you have to change the way you think. Now, you know, Paul said all these things, and basically he tells us many, many times to put our body under, to renew our mind all the time. Here's the deal. There's going to be opportunities in your life to react the wrong way. And I'm telling you, sometimes you're going to do it wrong. You're not going to act with a renewed mind. First of all, don't beat yourself up. That's something we have to do. But here's the thing is, what we have to do is whenever, we need to get to a point when we're faced with a situation where I can act with a renewed mind or unrenewed mind, we need to be able to control our mind to think, you know what, I can think this way or that way, this way or that way, and hopefully pick the right choice. Sometimes you'll pick the wrong one. But you know, I know many times when I've said a word, as soon as I said it, all of a sudden something clicked on the inside and said no. Just like one time my grandfather told me, it was concerning my grandmother's health, and I'll never forget it. We were in Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm not sure what day it was, but I know it was lunchtime. We were eating at a hotel lunch. My grandmother didn't come on the crusade with us, and this is the first time I've ever heard my grandfather actually say these words. He said, "Craig, I'm worried about your grandmother." Now, I never heard him say the word worry because he was not a worry. But as soon as he said those words, immediately he said, "No, I'm not worried." I mean, it wasn't those things. He said the word worry, and when he said the word worry, I'm thinking, wow, he says worry. What's he worried about? Then he said, "I'm concerned." There's a difference between worried and concerned. He told me about my grandmother, about some things about her health and some things about, you know, that that she needs to get it on her own. It's up to her, really. You know, but it was interesting. When she said, he said the word worry, immediately something checked him on the inside and he said, no, I'm concerned. And it really taught me a lesson that, you know what, when I say the wrong thing, immediately I can go back and say the right thing. But, you know, I have to be thinking like that. See, once we've renewed our mind so much, we start thinking a certain way. We get indoctrinated with a certain way of thinking. And when we see this with all these, you know, certain fanatical groups or whatever, they think a certain way. It's the same way. We've seen it with some of the political candidates. You know, that they have followers that think only about how they say things and everything else is wrong. You know, it happens. You know, people, some of them call it being brainwashed. Well, you need to be brainwashed with Christ. Amen. Knowing that you know what? It's always going to be okay. Every time you face a situation, you know what? I don't have to worry about that. When opportunity comes, you can worry. Say, no, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to trust God. Right. Yes. See, but we also have to understand there are so many times that we're going to say the wrong things and do the wrong things. But, you know, at some point in time, when you do that, I mean, even if you get home and you're floor and you're all depressed and worried, I just pray that the Holy Spirit will hit you and you'll remember you don't have to be worried anymore. Yeah. Maybe I'll just remember, hopefully you remember my face. Going. Or maybe you need to go out today, go to Walmart or any other place if you want to, and buy a little Transformer toy. There you go. Optimus Prime. Okay, Optimus Prime, Transformer toys, and put it somewhere in your house, and every time that you know you begin to think differently, get it out and so you can remember that you're transformed. But you're transformed by the way you think. So you have to think you're transformed, and then you become transformed. It starts with your thinking. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person here. Father, God, we just thank you right now that not only will they remember what we've taught today during their good times, but Father God, we thank you. When the times that people are going through, when things are troubling, things that are at their worst, that they will remember the words that we speak today. And their mind will immediately be transformed and be changed and begin to think like they should think. And all of a sudden, when they begin to think properly, things will take place in their life. It'll be life-changing. Father, help them to learn to know that they have the power to transform their life through their mind. And we just give you the praise, honor, and glory. We thank you, Father, for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, maybe you need salvation, infilling of the Holy Spirit, or just simply prayer about something in your life, or you need healing. We have a group of individuals that are up here, some ladies over here, some guys over there. You know, they want to pray with you. If you're a guy, you go over here. If you're a lady, go over there. If you don't know what you are, ask an usher, and he'll judge what you are and let you know, and you can give you to the right place. Let's all stand up. Amen. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad that you came tonight. We have a team there that wants to greet you, and they have something for you. So just go with them to a special place, and they want to give you that. Hopefully you enjoyed tonight. Just remember, you know, all our messages are not about now. It's about whenever you need it. Remember, when you're in a situation, when you have a choice to think one way or the other, think the right way. But if you think the wrong way, change that. As quick as possible. Amen. Well, don't forget, 10 o'clock here. It's Mother's Day. So don't forget your Mother's Day. We've got some great Mother's Day gifts out in the book and gift store. It's more of a gift store than it is a bookstore. So buy your mom some poopery or something. Might be good for her. I'm just kidding. Buy her something. That should be for your dad for Father's Day. But, you know, buy your mom something better than that. Amen. Turn around, shake hands with somebody. Tell them, you've been transformed through the way you think, and you're dismissed.